Hello, I'm on the air. This is Kathy Cook. We're going to be bridging some wisdom tonight. And a lot of people know me as Bright Lights Pathfinders. I have not prepared for the show, as usual. We're going to just see what comes out with meditations and prayer and centering myself, as well as each of you centering yourself. We'll just feed off of each other's goodness and glory of the beautiful light. And I just want to say, first of all, thank you to my family, my friends, and BBS Radio for making this happen and believing in me and believing that the message that goes out there is for each person that has ears to hear and needs to hear this message. So I do want to say that I have come out of the forest a million mile journey. The journey was very long, and it took me many, many years to get in the forest. So of course, it's going to take me many years to get out. I do have something right beside me. I was looking in my notebook and came across something for Seth at BBS Radio. And right under it is this little revised beginning of a book that I was writing. I guess I'll read that. Read this book so carefully and slow. Let your mind wander where your heart needs to go. When you start to really read and get into this book, think of going fishing for the answers in the power of the baited hook. I've been in the forest for many, many years. It took a very long time for me to get out of here. It was relationships with people and myself that got me lost. And for years, I didn't care what my life cost. The only thing which brought me any type of a relief at all, of anything that I wanted to do, was staying numb with myself physically, mentally, and emotionally too. So I started this book, and once I began to awake, after praying to God for my sanity's sake. As I prayed to God, he answered and said, "There's a message for others that lies ahead." Again, I turned my life over to him, which I knew he already had. I had had enough in the forest, I told him, and being so sad. He showed me this path out of the forest edge, where the fields were open wide and the pastures were so green. To each life's lesson that were brought forth to my mind, as I thought and sought his knowledge of the wisdom for reasonings that my heart would find. While I was in the forest, I vowed to never, ever love intimately again. Now aware of the reasons, I now see where my problems began. Looking back at my past, as God revealed to me, it was very painful at first for me to look and see. He opened my heart as I searched for the reasons to understand the why. With his help, I was able to let go of the past relationships while saying gently goodbye. Now, as time and past issues are brought forth for me to stop and look and see, I know God has provided with me with tools to ease the pain away with ease. He told me there's others in the forest that have a similar virtues and paths as you. So write this book as a path to help others see and follow through. I've learned to trust again and to love again too. First with myself, and then others will see me through. God wants me to pass all of these lessons I've learned over to you. And one of the bondage that will be broken will be answers in your heart and your lessons too. The hook loses its bait when you find the answers and you get a fresh new start. Because the stronger the bait, the bigger the power. Like all things that are known in the house of the power, once the unknown is revealed to the answers, the light is in the knowledge. This bait is now taken and it's all gone. And when you know the answers of knowledge, how you got here all along, you gain your acceptance of all things known, for now life's easier to bear. No one has to walk through the valleys of the shadows of fear of the unknown, because we can all live our life in peace in the presence of God and stare fear in the face of all the unknown. Well, that was pretty interesting for me. I have someone, I believe, I hear a boink boink. I don't know what that means. If that's somebody calling me or what. Seth, you'll have to let me know because I don't know how to work this Skype thing yet. But anyway, what I was getting to that is that if I give myself to the understanding that it's okay to have past hurt. Who is? Caller on line two? Hello?
Hi, how are you?
Thanks, Seth. Hey, how are you?
I'm lovely, and you know, it's the first time I'm calling the show or this site, so I just wanted to know if I can get a reading.
Well, you know, I really don't like to do readings on the air because I do deep root readings and they take really a long time. And if I just gave you a little brush sweep, I don't believe that that is fair to you. But you can get a hold of me at Kathy Cook, Kathy with a C, Cook, at bridging-wisdom.com, and we can set up an appointment. I do consultations.
Okay.
I do them for free. I don't charge, but I really think that this little bit of airtime we have, it's just too small of amount of time to go into someone's, you know, deep depths of who they are and what's going on.
I see. You don't do questions? You don't even question reading?
What basically I do on my airtime is teach and contemplate and look at the, you know, the understandings of things.
Oh, okay. But what is your website again?
I'm all over the internet under Kathy with a C, Kathy Hill Cook. Or you can even type in Bridging Wisdom. There's a couple million out there on me. So you can see my credentials and everything.
Hill Cook with a C-O-O-K.
Kathy with a C. C-A-T-H-Y. H-I-L-L-C-O-O-K.
Okay, Kathy Hill Cook. Okay.
Okay, and if you want to email me, that's Kathy Cook at either brightlightspathfinders.com. That's on my profile page on BBS, or you can email Kathy Cook at bridging-wisdom.com. I will get back with you, but
okay, well,
you'll understand more.
Thank you, Kathy.
Who I am and why I don't go into readings on air because they're very deep and it's something very personal.
I understand.
Okay, thank you, Stacey.
Okay.
I hope to hear from
thank
you.
Thank you.
Bye bye.
Okay.
I want to dedicate something of this book to each person that's looking for answers and understanding, because they all lie within yourself. And when I do readings, consultations, I allow the person to read themselves, kind of in a transit state. They do know what they're saying, and I just know that it's something that each person, that's my particular ways and means, is going into the person, going into their understanding of what they need. And if I told somebody that they were going to move to a house with, you know, palm trees, then they would make that their initiative to go look for a house with palm trees. So there's a difference in a psychic and there's a difference in a intuitive. So I do intuitive consultations, which is the root of a person, pulling out the root of who they are, their personality, and the ways and means that they need to see themselves. And it's very personal. That's another reason I don't do it on air. Not unless, you know, far and few between. But I found something, I don't even know what this is about, but it says, each person is unique, a oneness of their own kind, existence of self different from any other, no other likeness of self in life. It says, it is often difficult to fully appreciate the separateness and the uniqueness of oneself, especially when in a relationship, each individual, separate destiny to fulfill, no one or nothing is the same, absolutely nothing. So I strive to grow for my children and for all which individuals are capable of, to grow spiritually in the glory of myself and God, not only for my benefit, but for their own, and to grow not for their benefit of who they are and what they are and want me to be, but for myself and my own. Now, I know a lot of people out there want to write and get a book out there. Let me tell you something that I did. This is back in 2002, because I'm for some reason in my 2002 journal. I wrote just words, you know, like sentences out on a piece of paper. It's the solitude while I was in the forest, which I read at the beginning of the show. You'll have to, hello, you're on the air. Is somebody here? I guess not. I heard a little deep. Anyway, It says the acceptance of solitude is understood and known. All is needed in time to replenish. A time to self, a time to being alone. If we walk in the nature, worries will diminish as real treasures are found. A journey within the quietness and peace, away from the routine and the daily sound. If we give out to ourselves and absorb that quietness, we will receive what our soul and spirits need in the solitude. Our satisfaction, a time to just play, as we focus on all of the different little sounds in a gracious gratitude. If you let your mind wander, what creatures you hear all around, then notice the awareness, everything that you see. You look at the forest in its own world, the way God created it to be. Breathe deeply in through your nose and sense the senses of the earthy natural smell of the spirit. This is pretty interesting because I wrote just like one or two sentences down for each thing that I wanted to write about. It says, still taking deep breaths while in the forest, while you come out of the forest, exhale deeply and notice that your senses of touch and standing within the soft cushions of the green moss, realize how much solitude you really need to be within yourself and the earth that surrounds you. Be in the forest for hours, collecting treasures and things to remind yourself of the time that was needed before your life became so strained. The lessons that I learned while in the forest is that I can be my own self and I can quietly take a daily break. I've learned the importance of solitude, not to put off the time needed to take care of myself, as I also plan out for the day, or maybe even two, because the solitude is a routine for me now. To thine own self be true. Let me just say, what, you know, with anybody, any given situation, I keep myself so purely cleaned out that worry is just something that I don't really have, even if it's something heavy in my life, like this thyroid cancer I've got that's really kicking my butt the past couple of days. But I think to myself, well, it's something that I need to rest. I need to rest. So, you know, if I dwell on something, I'm putting that energy out there in the universe. I'm putting it out, and the universe is wanting to please me. So it's going to pull back what I worry about. It's going to bring back to me exactly what I put out there. Like, oh my God, what if I don't have a job? What if my husband doesn't have a job? One of those things. I'm using that hypothetically. Is that going to pull back? He doesn't have a job. You don't have a job. Because I'm putting it out there. The universe knows no other way but to please us. Think of the universe like the subconscious mind of the body. Whatever I put out there in my thought process, my subconscious mind is going to absorb. It's going to start thinking on it. And it's going to do jumping jacks, upside down, flips upside, whatever, to try to please me. Well, that's what the universal atmosphere does. The energy that we suck out there, push out there, is what we're going to breathe back in. So with that given, I just want to say that for, you know, somebody that gave me a text message today worried about their job and their husband's job. It's just, you know, bless it and be grateful for today. Be grateful that you have what you have today and know that you're good at it. If you have any uneasiness or uneasy feelings, remember, those feelings are coming from yourself. And clean out your closet. Clean out yourself. Meditate. Get very quiet. Keep one word or one sentence at a time. And do a mantra on that. Now, I can't stress enough to you guys how important it is to know your own self. Because you cannot lie to yourself, but you can be grateful. Start counting your blessings. Count your gratitudes. Count whatever. Because the positive is what I dwell on. This world is in chaos and turmoil. Things are upside down if I looked at it that way. But really, I'm alive, I'm breathing, and I'm able to get out there a message to each of you guys. I'm here every Tuesday evenings at 5 o'clock Pacific time. That's 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time here on BBS Radio. This is Bridging Wisdom, and I'm Kathy Cook. And I want to say, my mother gave me something very, very interesting today. It's facts. Amazing facts. Study God. Now, this one says, are we really dead? I haven't opened it, so I'm reading it with you guys, okay? It says, the first page is, it's a little magazine, and it says, death just might be one of the most misunderstood subjects today. To many, it is shrouded in mystery and evokes dreading feelings of fear, uncertainty, and even hopelessness. Others believe that deceased loved ones are not dead at all. Seth, you're going to have to tell me who's on the line or what, because I hear these blinks, but I don't know what they mean. So I'd appreciate it if, when I hear that, you just, because I don't see a window that shows where people write stuff, okay? It says, still, Lisa, Florida, line two. Thank you, Seth. Hello, Lisa, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. I wanted to know what you see coming up for me.
Lisa, I do not do intuitive consultations on the air. I do them in private. So, like first caller, if you would like to give me an email, it's Kathy with a C, Cook, at bridging-wisdom.com. The reason I don't is because they're too in-depth. I do deep root readings, and I feel that it would just be too quick, you know, and to brushstroke. Kind of like giving somebody a taste of an ice cream for the first time and not getting into the nitty-gritty of it. So if you wouldn't mind, just write me an email. We'll get back up with each other that way, okay? Whoa! Okay, well, let's get back to this. And it says, if people really die, and it's others that seem to see deceased ones that are not dead at all. Instead, they live with them or in their other realms. Others are confused about the relationships between the body and the spirit and the soul. Does it really matter if you believe or not? Absolutely. Now, here's what it says. It says, there is no room for guessing, and this is a study guide. It's really an eye-opener. So let's see what this thing says. It says, how did we get here in the first place? This is in Genesis 2:7. It says, and the Lord thy God formed man out of dust from the ground and breathed in his nostrils, and the breath of life became the living being. The answer is God made us from dust, from his being. Like I've always said, God created us in one image, and that was his soul. What happens when a person dies? The dust will return to earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. That's in Ecclesiastes 12:7. The answer is the body turns to dust again, and the spirit goes back to God who gave it. The spirit of every person who dies, whether righteous or wicked, will return to God at death. Wow. I didn't know that. Now, it says, what is the spirit that returns to God after death? And this is James 2:26. The body without the spirit is dead. The spirit of God is in the nostrils. So that's breathing. And the answer is the spirit of God returns to God as death is the breath of life. Nowhere in all of God's book does the spirit have any life, wisdom, or feeling after a person dies. It's the breath of life and nothing more, nothing less. And then it says, what is the soul? And the Lord thy God formed man into dust into the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became the living soul. That's Genesis 2:7. The answer is a soul is a living being. A soul is always a combination of two things. Melissa from Tucson. Thank you, Seth. Hello, Lisa. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well, too. Can I ask you a question?
Well, if it's about an intuitive consultation or anything like that, you can email me. We'll get together that way. That's Kathy with a C, Cook, at bridging-wisdom.com.
Okay.
I don't feel that we have enough time on air to go into a reading. I do deep root readings, and I don't do just the one little questions because one question gives an answer, and then the more questions follow. So if you don't mind, I will get with you in a given time. We'll make an appointment, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. Take care. So a soul is a living being. A soul is always in a combination of two things, body plus breath. A soul cannot exist unless the body and the breath are combined. God's word teaches us that we are souls. Y'all want to hear some more of this? Yay, I do. This is very intriguing. Okay, listen to this. Does the soul die? The soul that sinneth, it shall die. That's in Ezekiel. Every living soul died in the sea. That's in Revelations. The answer, according to God's word, souls do die. We are all souls, and souls must die. Man is mortal. That is Job 4:17. Only God is immortal. That's in Timothy. The concept of an underlying immortal soul goes against the Bible, which teaches that souls are the subject of death. You know, when my dad died, a psychologist wrote me, he says, the last enemy of life is death. And that is so true. This is, my mom wanted me to read this out to each of you guys. She sent it to me, and she does listen to my archives. So, Mom, this is for you, Mimi. Do good people go to heaven when they die? And it says, all who are in the graves will hear his voice come forth. That's in John 5:28. David is both dead and buried in the tomb with us to this day. For David did not descend into the heavens. If I wait for the grave in my house, the answer is no. People do not either go to heaven or hell after death. They go to their graves and await to the resurrection day. Wow. So that brings me to the question of how do people become mediums? Well, when I hear my dad, which has passed in 2005, I hear his wisdom that he has bestowed into my heart. You know, what he has bestowed in my heart. I also contemplate, I see spirits everywhere. Michael was we were on Skype the other day, and he literally watched the spirits pop all over my house. Every color, all these little orbs, everything. So I do know that they're spirits. They could have been the spirits of the universe, you know, like the plants and animals and things. But do spirits really come back after death? To me, I'm a spirit speaking right now, my actions, reactions. So my energy that has been spent while being alive on this earth is the energy that others will pick up after my death. So that's my spirit. That's what I gather from it. And the soul, though, it says that we're asleep until the resurrection comes, which I guess is the end of the world. I don't know. I'll have to read more into this. It says, number 9, Jesus called the unconscious state of the dead asleep in John 11:11. How long do they sleep? Well, man lays down and he does not rise till the day that till the heavens are no more. The day that the Lord comes and the heavens will pass away. The answer, the dead will sleep until the great day of the Lord at the end of the world. And the dead humans are totally unconscious with no activity and no knowledge of any kind. Wow. So what is all that going around here and there and everywhere that we keep picking up and pulling? Because I know that energy's out there. Number 10, what happens to the righteous dead at the second coming of Christ? And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is within me, to give to everyone according to his work. That's in Revelations. And for the Lord himself descended from the heaven with a shout, and the dead in Christ will rise, and thus shall always be with the Lord. We shall all be changed in that moment of a twinkling eye. And the dead will be raised incorruptible. And corrupt will be put into corruption, and the moral will live immorally. The answer is in Corinthians 15:51. They will be rewarded, they will be raised and given immortal bodies, and called up to meet with the Lord in the air. Those with no purpose in this resurrection, people will be taken to heaven at death. The devil's first attempt to lie was Eve will not die. And that's the statement contrary to the devil. What is the devil's first lie on earth? That was him telling that Eve that she would surely not die. Well, we saw that was a lie. And then it says, why did the devil even lie to Eve about death? Could this be subject to more than what we may think? The answer to that is the pillars of the devil's teaching, to his work and the powerful miracles brought down to the ages through the people claimed to receive the power of the spirits of the dead. The magicians of Egypt is an example, Exodus 7:11. the woman of Endor is Samuel 20, 1 Samuel 28, 3. Sorcerers, Daniel 2, 2. A certain slave girl, Acts 16, 16 through 8. A solemn warning. In the end of time, Satan will again use sorcery as he did in Daniel's day to deceive the world. That's in Revelations 18, 23. Sorcery is a supernatural agency that claims to receive the power and wisdom from the dead of spirits. Whoa. See, that's what I've been trying to tell you guys all these years. I channel totally through the one God that I worship, and that is the Holy Spirit. And that's the messages I get for you and for you and for you. Anybody that wants an intuitive consultation or whatever, it comes through the Holy Spirit. And if he has a message to give to you, then it's like I'm a spokesperson to it. But I will not go in there and tamper with that other side, because I know that other side. I've walked it. I've lived it. I've seen it. My father was a Freemason at age 33. I mean, 33 degree at age 28. One side of my family was very hard, strong Wiccan. And the other side, I was raised strict, strong Christian. So I have a very well-rounded knowing what not to touch and what not to tamper with. Because to me, we're walking on a fine, fine, fine tightrope here, guys. Where it's so fine that if you want to see your loved ones in heaven, they got to live right too. You know, God says that he builds up us a new tent in heaven. You know, that this earthly tent is dead and it's just but dust. But okay, listen, here's number 13. Do devils really work miracles? For they are the spirits of the devil working miracles. The false Christ and false prophets will rise and show a great sign of wonder, and to who deceived, it is possible even to the elect. That's Matthew 24:24 and Revelation 16:14. The answer, yes indeed, the devils work incredibly conceiving miracles. Satan and his angels will appear as angels of light, and even more shocking, as Christ himself. The universal feeling will be that Christ and his angels are leading this fantastic worldwide revival, but the entire emphasis will be that the spirit to be so human, supernatural, that only God, the elect, will not be deceived. And there you have it. Open your eyes, everybody. Open your heart. Number 14, why will God's people not be deceived? They receive the word of the readiness and the separate of the scriptures to find out whether they will do so or not. That's Acts 17. If they do not speak according to his word, it's because there is no light within them. The answer, God's people who know from the earnest study of his book that the dead are the dead and not alive. Spirits of the dead do not exist. Therefore, God's people will reject the miracle of the workers and teaching to claim to receive the special light or the work of miracles and contradicting the spirits of the dead. And God's people will likewise reject the dangers of the false teachings and claim that the dead are alive in any form, anywhere. Number 15, back in Moses' day, what did God command should be done to the people who taught that the dead were alive? And here's what it says. A man or a woman who is a medium or who has familiar spirits shall surely be put to death. They shall stone themselves with their own stones. The answer, God's insistent in mediums and others, familiar spirits who claim to be able to contact the dead, should be stoned to death. That shows that God's regards in the false teachings that the dead are alive. Wow. I mean, I'm getting slapped right in the face here with this stuff, y'all. Woo! Number 16. Will righteous people who are raised in the resurrection ever die again? But those who are counted worthy and attained at this age, the resurrection from the dead, now can they die anymore? And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and they shall see no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. That they shall be in no more pain, and the former things that have been have passed away. The answer is no. Death, sorrow, crying, and tragedy will never enter into God's new kingdom. And when the corruptible has been put in incorruption, and the moral has been put into immorality, then and only then shall it be brought to pass in saying that it is written, death is swallowed up in victory. I hope y'all are enjoying this as much as I am, because this is my hour and this is what I wanted to talk about. My mother said to put this out there, and that's what I'm doing. And I listen to my elders. I listen to my mother. Believe in incarnation is expanded today rapidly, and its teaching, is it biblical? The question is written, for the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing. Nevertheless, will they have a share in anything done under the sun? The answer, almost half of the people on the earth believed in incarnation, a teaching that the soul never dies, but instead continuously reborn in different kinds of body with each succeeding generation. This teaching, however, is contrary to the scripture. The Bible says, after a person's death returns to dust, Psalms 104:29, knows nothing, Ecclesiastes 9:5, possess no mental powers, Psalms 146:4, and has nothing to do with anything on earth. Wow. Satan's intention. We learned in the questions 11 and 12 that Satan's invented the teachings that the dead are alive. Reincarnation and channelings of communication and the spirits that spirit worship, and that the underlying soul are all interventions of Satan with one aim, to convince people when that you die, you are not really dead. When people believe that they are dead, that are alive, spirits of devils working their miracles, that's Revelation 16:14, and posing as spirits of the dead will be able to be deceived and lead them astray virtually 100% of the time. That's Matthew 24:24. Question number 18. Are you thankful for the Bible, which tells the truth and the sensitive subject of death? And it gives you a place to give an answer. Ooh, I'm going to have to think about that. Not really, but with my heart. Did the thief of the cross go to paradise with Christ the day he died? The answer, no. In fact, on Sunday morning, Jesus said to Mary, I have not yet ascended to my Father. This shows that Christ did not neither go to heaven at his death. And note that the punctuation in the Bible, notably inspired, but by added by man, the comma, Luke 23:43, should place the words today rather than before, so that the passage should read, virtually I say unto you today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Or am I telling you today, when it seems that I can save no one, when even myself has been crucified as a criminal, I give you assurance today that you will be with me in paradise, Christ's kingdom, in the second coming, Matthew 25:31. And the righteous of all ages will enter at that time. I'm just shocked at this. My mother knows what to send for food for thought. Okay, it says, question number 2, does the Bible speak of the underlying immortal soul? The answer is no. The underlying immortal soul is not mentioned in the Bible. The word immortal is found only once in the Bible, and that is in reference to God, and that's 1 Timothy 1:17. The question number 3, are death and body returns to dust in the spirit of a breath as it returns to God, but where does the soul go? The answer, it goes nowhere. Instead, it simply ceases to exist. Two things must combine to making a soul, body and breath. When the breath departs and the soul ceases to exist, because the combination of two things, when you turn on a light, where does the light go? It doesn't go anywhere. It just ceases to exist. When you turn off the light, I'm sorry. When you turn off the light, where does the light go? It just goes nowhere. It ceases to exist. Two things must combine in making a light, a bulb and electricity. Without the combination, a light is impossible. So with is the soul. Unless the body and breath are combined, there can be no soul. No such thing as a disembodied soul. Boy, I'm hitting some sensitive spots right now on this broadcast, aren't I? Oh my gosh. Wow. Who's deceived out there? Who is deceived? Ask yourself that. Does the word soul ever mean anything other than living being? The answer is yes. It may mean that life itself or the mind or intellect, no matter which meaning is intended, the soul is still a combination of two things, body and breath. As it increases to exist at death, it ceases to increase at death. Shut up. I can't even read this. It's blowing my mind. Okay, it says, the combination of two things, body and breath, and it ceases to exist after death. Can you explain John 11:26, which says, whoever lives and believes in me shall never die? The answer to that is, this refers to not the first death, which all people die, which is Hebrews 9:27, but to the second death, which only the wicked die, and from which are no resurrection. That's in Revelation 2:11. Matthew 10:28 says, do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Does this prove that the soul is underlying? The answer is no. It proves the opposite. The last half of the same verse provided, do souls die? It says, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. The word soul here means life and refers to eternal life, and which is a gift. Romans 6:23. They will be given to the righteous on the last day, John 6:54. No one can stay away from eternal life, but God bestows. Wow, this is just blowing my mind. What about souls crying from under the altar in Revelation 6:9-10? Does this show the souls do not die? No, the crying is figurative and was the crying of Abel's blood. The word soul means people or living beings who had been slain for their faith. Surely no one believes that the soul who dies literally lies under the altar, nor did the people believe that the righteous begged God to be punished for their punish their enemies. Rather, the righteous begged for mercy for their enemies as Christ did on the cross. Well, there's more and more and more of this whole thing. I mean, she gave me like this booklet on this stuff. And what I've gathered from all this is, man, let's wipe the slate clean. Let's really look inside and quit being deceived. That's just like somebody, you know, playing that I Spy Something. You know, that game, I Spy Something. Or like a magician that can trick things. You know, you got to really walk that tightrope. I know I want to get to heaven found, wherever beyond the stars and back, you know. But I have always been taught, since I was a little girl, that we go to sleep when we die, and that we're asleep in Christ if we believe and we work strong at it. But we've got to ask forgiveness from ourselves and from others, and then go to God for the forgiveness. We're human. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to do the bad deed. But I tell you what, if it doesn't feel right, don't do it. And if it feels good, kind of, and then it gives you the icky feeling, you know, don't do it. Simply put, enjoy life, enjoy your place in this life, and realize man is destroying this universe because of greed and because of anger and because of wanting to be looked at. You know, I don't even broadcast my shows out there that I'm going to, you know, I don't put them on Facebook or Twitter or whatever anymore, because I believe that whoever needs to find me will find me and will turn on the station and listen to my message. My message comes from within myself, of like the wisdom that my mother gave me today, or, you know, the God-centered wisdom that he gives me to speak out. And as a prophet, you speak no more nor less. You speak what is written on your heart right at that precise moment. Now, I want to do say that, you know, everybody has, we have a right to choice of own free will. I'm not trying to preach at you guys. I'm just simply learning a lesson myself. And as I'm learning it, I'm placing it out there into the universal world wide web. You know, mediumship or whatever. I was raised in that stuff. I watched the tables come off the floor. I was a little girl and watched all that. I know what Satan's trickeries can do. Now, who says what is Satan? Satan is a lie of deceit, the father of lies. He will lie and deceive you so that he can catch you in that snarly thing and just start controlling your life. And I've got a whole nother booklet on if anybody wants to hear what Satan is. Look at this one. Is the devil in charge of hell? Is he? Let's see. I'm just now opening this mail. So, does God really keep the devil on his payroll? Is he the chief superintendent of hell, measuring out the punishments of the lost? Nearly the entire world holds to every unbiblical view about hell. And to own it to yourself, to know the Bible, what it really says about it. Don't be fooled because you think about hell certainly affects what you think about God's character. Take a few moments to get into these amazing facts that you need to know today. Number one, how many lost souls are being punished in hell today? The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and reserve them in the midst unto the day of judgment and punishment. The answer, there is but one single soul in hellfire today. The Bible says that God reserves and holds back the wicked until the day of judgment to be punished. Where will sinners be cast into hellfire? This is so not like my broadcast, right, everybody? I know, right? But my mother asked me to do this. I pay attention. If my mother says something, it's pretty strong. Okay, where do sinners get cast into hellfire? So it will be at the end of this age that Son and Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all the things that have been offended, and those who practice lawlessness, and cast them into the furnace of fire. That's Matthew 13:40-42. The word that I have spoken will judge them in the last day. The answer? Sinners will be cast into hellfire at the great judgment day and at the end of the world. Not when they die. God would not punish a person in fire until his case was tried and decided in court at the end of the world. Nor did God burn a murderer who died 5,000 years ago, 5,000 years longer than he who dies deserves punishment at the same sin today. Wow. This is deep stuff, guys. What is the end result of sin? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Lord Jesus forever. Sin is when it is full grown and brought forth to death. God gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. The wages or punishment of sin is death, not everlasting life, but in hellfire. The wicked will perish and receive death. The righteous will receive everlasting life. This is opening my eyes, y'all, to a whole lot. Now, I don't know what it's doing for you guys, but I'm sitting here thinking, whoa, I have been so deceived most of my life. Even though I try so hard to live right and to live straight. But I have been deceived. Ooh! Where are sinners and where have they died now? The hour is coming in which who are in the graves will hear the voice coming forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life and those who have done evil, the resurrection of condemnation. The wicked is reserved for the day of destruction, yet we will be brought to the grave and shall remain in the tomb. The answer, the Bible is specific. Both the wicked and the righteous will have died in their graves, sleeping until the resurrection day. See lesson 10. I'll have to look at that again. What is the end result of sin? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. God gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. You know, I'm not sitting here trying to throw this down y'all's throat. I'm doing it because my mother asked me to give this message out there. So you think of my mother, the Mimi, Shirley Hill, speaking to each of you guys right now. Because she asked me just prior to me going on broadcast. She says, what are you going to talk about on BBS today? And I said, I don't know. Never know till I come. She says, well, look at what I sent you something in the mail. And she says, it's called Amazing Facts, and it's a study guide. And she says, why don't you talk on that? So that's why I'm doing this. Because my mother, she cares so much for me that she would do anything for me. That she's a hardcore mother, let me tell you that right now. And I do fight with her and fuss with her because I'm a headstrong, strong-willed person. But she knows how to work with me and talk with me. You know, just give me little things here and there. She knows that I'll pick them up when it's time. And This is very important. The world is going to the hell in a handbasket right now. We're destroying our own Earth's atmosphere that was given to us as a beauty. And anybody that doesn't believe in that, that's my belief. Because to me, how I live, I walk my talk, I speak it, I live in my truth. I've got credentials out the yin-yang, and I am intuitive. And because we are all born with intuition and instinct. But what happens out there is the ooeys get on us. And Satan loves to be the liar. He is the father of lies. But he lives in his own truth fat. Now, we've got anybody and everybody out there. I want to just pray and just praise each one that has come to the conclusion that, you know, get out the Bible. But to me, I told my mother today, I said, the Bible was written by man. Man is mistake. We are human to make mistakes. And she said, you got to listen with your heart, Kathy. And she says, we had a long conversation on that. But, you know, there is hellfire and brimstone. And you will quench and you will thirst. You will answer to all the actions. But you can always ask forgiveness and start fresh and clean. It's not hard. You know, it's just not hard. Just don't give in to John, Joe, Doe, blah, blah, you know, and all those people and what they're saying, thinking, feeling, and doing. Why do you want to let them rent space in your head? Why? Who cares what people think of me? It's none of my business. As long as I'm working and walking right and sitting there talking straight and talk. You know, people get so pissed off at me all the time because I don't put up with bullshit. You know, I throw no lies out to a person. I throw their own truth back at them, and they can't stand it. They run and hide. They don't want anything to do with me after that, certain people. And you know what? They're the ones that have to answer to themselves. I am just going to stand firm in my truth. I'm going to stand firm in where I am, and I'm standing firm right now into the knowing that I have got a new light in my heart, and that's from my mother. And I'm honored and privileged to be a part of her, of Shirley Hill and John Walton Hill Jr. We had, 60 tornadoes hit North Carolina this past couple of days. You know? The world is changing. It's shifting constantly. And, you know, I got locked up. This is an example. My mother always told me, she says, be prepared even if you're going down the street to get, you know, to a neighbor. Be prepared. Have everything you need in your pocketbook or with you. Sure enough, I shut the door and got locked out of my house. Totally. Michael and I were on the phone, and he said, why aren't you upset? And I said, no. I said, it's just going to be what it is. And I sat outside for about an hour. Then I called my son, the fireman, and he told me to call the fire department. The fire department said, well, do you have heart medication or whatever in the house? I said, yes. And they said, well, we'll be right out. Do you know, it was a good 3 hours I was locked out of the house. I didn't sweat it. I was just like, you know, things are going to be how they're going to be. And if I stress over something, it's going to cause turmoil and strife in my life. If I just let it go, it just is. I was locked out of my house. I had my cigarettes. I had a drink. I went and got a hamburger. You know, I had me some things to do. But the thing is why do people let so much crap push on them? Why? If you're doing the best you possibly can, if you know that you are walking your talk and you're staying in your truth, who cares about popularity? Oh my God. Because people have to look outside themselves and seek approval from other people to be okay with their own self. To me, I have to be okay with me. I have to be happy with me. And then, and only then, can I give out to other people and be happy. I've got a very full-figured body right now because of my thyroid cancer. My mother told me today that several people came up to her at the wedding and said, boy, Cassie sure has got a hot little figure going on there, big figure going on there. And Mom said, it's because you carry yourself well, Cassie. It's because you know and you feel good about yourself. And so, therefore, that's what's projected out there. If I was like, oh, I'm so fat, I'm so big, you know, and did all that. Well, then other people are going to project that from me and think those thoughts too. Because remember, our energy thoughts are very powerful. They're very strong and powerful. What we think of ourselves is our business. Because if we think and feel good about ourselves, if we always walk in our own light with God above, and we know that there's nothing that we need to hide from, and quit the bullshit lying. Because the lying and trying to be the greatest, it's going to happen if you have that faith and hope and trust and believe in the knowing. Because the knowing is what it's all about. The knowing inside your heart. Who likes to be deceived and talked about? You know, do you have to join a group and be in the gossipy group and keep it up so that you don't get talked about? Well, I mean, give me a break. Why spend your time and energy on all that crap? You know, I get out here on this broadcast, I pay for my airtime because I feel that I have a message to put forth that is hopeful and that gives people light. But you know what? It's really, I know what 1 + 1 = 2. And I know what 1 + 1 - 1 = 1. I'd rather be 1 and 1 with the Creator and me. And then everybody else that wants to come around, that is great. That's a plus. Loneliness inside is worse than loneliness outside. Because if you're not in a relationship with yourself and a higher power, you're going to be one lonely sucker. But if you've got that relationship going on with you and your Creator, then everybody else is going to see that bright shining light and see that glow on your face and want to know where you get it from. I'm not trying to push down people's throats, Jesus Christ this, Jesus Christ that. That's my choice as a human being to choose Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, because He has never let me go wrong. He has never, the stuff that's going on in my life is not, I'm a victim. I am not a victim. Nobody is a victim. We make ourselves our own victims. I want to just say with many ways and shapes and forms that, you know, we can make good out of every given bad situation. It might, because to me, it's like lifting those weights as a strong man. The more you lift the weights, the stronger you're going to get. And we can't always be hunky-dory in a purple blue bubble all the time. We've got to have the weights of the hardship or the things that are difficult for us and apply it to the wisdom from the knowledge that we've gained in those imaginary weights to be stronger and be strengthened and be wiser and wiser people. I'm about out of time because there's another show coming up. I do want to say to each and every person to have a blessed week and to have just a heartfelt of real truth. And I pray that everything that I've said today on this broadcast is understood and taken. And remember, you can keep what I say. You can keep what others say. You can put some of it on the shelf for later. Or you can dismiss it all. Just remember, each one of you guys, keep your side of the street clean and all will be well. With that, Seth, I'm going to be off the air because I don't want to go into something else that's going to be a whole other situation and story. We've got 8 minutes left, but with that, Seth, I'm going to ask you to play something really great, some great music on the air. And I'll see you all next week. This is Kathy Cook, Bright Lights Pathfinders, Bridging Wisdom, one wisdom spoke at a time. Take care.